It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we pay a little homage to the women who have worked to preserve the state's environment.
West Virginia has a very strong history when it comes to women being engaged in the labor movement, union movement, also in the environmental movement. For some reason, people like keep on forgetting about it.
We'll have that coming up, but first some headlines. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston is facing a new lawsuit this week. A former seminarian has stepped forward with details about abuse he says he experienced while working for the recently retired bishop of the diocese. Glennis Board reports.
A former seminarian, identified only as J.E., filed suit against the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston, the recently retired Bishop Michael Bransfield of that diocese, and 20 other unnamed defendants. The civil complaint was filed in the Circuit Court of Ohio County. It contains explicit details about encountering Bishop Bransfield while he was intoxicated and asserts that he sexually assaulted the plaintiff. The complaint says other defendants knew about accusations against Bransfield as early as 2007, but took no action to appropriately investigate or sanction the bishop. A spokesperson from the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston said the diocese could not offer any comment on ongoing litigation. Bishop Bransfield is the subject of other investigations as well, including one by the Vatican, which was launched last year, and one by West Virginia's Attorney General, announced earlier this month. The internal Catholic investigation looked into allegations of sexual assault and financial improprieties. It's been announced that that investigation is complete and is waiting to be adjudicated in Rome, though details have not been made available to the public. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.
A congressional committee will hear testimony today in support of legislation that would help clean up and redevelop surface mine land in Appalachia. Sydney Bowles reports the bill will face challenges despite bipartisan support.
The two bills up for consideration are the Reclaim Act and the Community Reclamation Partnerships Act. One would distribute funds to clean up certain coal mines that have been polluting waterways for decades, and the other would make it easier for states and nonprofits to work together on coal mine cleanup. Eric Dixon is a policy coordinator for the Appalachian Citizens Law Center. He'll be testifying at the committee hearing. He says the Reclaim Act would create jobs cleaning up damaged waterways.
All of the money has to be spent on actually reclaiming the stream. The idea is that you design projects with a future use in mind.
Over 50 local governments in 5 Appalachian states have passed resolutions in support of the measure, and a 2016 survey found that 89% of Ohio Valley voters were in favor. A new version of the Reclaim Act has not yet been filed, but in 2017, a version of the bill passed out of committee with broad bipartisan support. Lawmakers were unable to offset the cost of the bill, and it failed to reach a full floor vote. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Sydney Bowles.
Hours ahead of a midnight deadline to take action on bills from the regular legislative session, Governor Jim Justice announced Wednesday a final set of approvals and vetoes. As Dave Mistich reports, Justice signed 266 pieces of legislation and vetoed 28 ahead of the deadline to act on bills.
Justice signed 3 bills Wednesday at Harrison County Coal Company, a Murray Energy subsidiary based in Marion County. House Bill 3142 will reduce the tax rate from 5% to 3% over 3 years and translates to a $60 million annual loss in revenue upon full implementation, according to a fiscal note from state revenue officials. Leading up to the deadline, Justice also signed a controversial bill that increases the contribution limits in the state's campaign finance laws. Senate Bill 622 allows up to $2,800 in donations to candidate committees, $5,000 to political action committees, and $10,000 to state party executive committees. Each of those limits had been set at $1,000 per year or election cycle. Among Justice's vetoes were a bill that would have allowed for vertical integration within the state's yet-to-be-launched medical cannabis program, and a measure that called for a special road repair fund that mandated transparency. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in Morgantown.
A collaborative art exhibit at West Virginia University focuses on one of the state's most abundant resources, water, and celebrates the many women who protect it. Brittany Patterson visited to find out more.
At West Virginia University's downtown library, students are busy studying, heads down, eyes glued to computer screens.
The scene is a bit different from even a decade ago, when books were the main feature. But libraries are still centers of contemplative learning, and WVU's Art in the Libraries program hopes to take advantage of that. This academic year, the library has turned into an oasis of expressions about water.
So we wanted it to be something that people could see when they walked in. So as soon as they came in the door, they were like, oh my gosh, what are those cool panels on the wall? And we didn't want it to be something where they had to kind of walk right up it to see it, because many people, you know, work on the computers in the library.
Megan Kruger helped curate Water. The cross-disciplinary exhibit is splashed across the walls and swells up into the stairwell to the second level of the library. She gives me a tour, quietly. We pass brightly colored panels that provide information about the state's rivers and wetlands. As we turn the corner, the library's beige walls are transformed into a patchwork of watercolor paintings created by the members of the West Virginia Watercolor Association.
So this is kind of just our art in motion wall, so how water and art are interconnected.
And interestingly, you know, I see the pretty waterfalls and things like that, but I also see some acid mine drainage,
yeah,
and some like city water and a cityscape, water pump. So it's really...
Yeah, so it's not just all the good, right? So we wanted to have a kind of a full picture of what West Virginia water looks like, and we wanted to show all sides of it.
The exhibit is also interactive. A staircase between the first and second floors of the library celebrates water-based recreation in a big way. A pair of snowboards and ski poles are suspended in the stairwell.
The company put a cool kind of water graphic down there, so you look like you're kind of like in the stream.
On the second floor, a wall of plastic water bottles, more than a dozen feet high and wide, shows the impacts of plastic pollution. Students crafted the message, "Water is life, plastic is not," from bottle labels. And there's a soundtrack. Through the end of April, a second exhibit devoted to women and water is also being featured in the library's first floor tutoring center. It showcases about 20 photographs, sculptures, and paintings created and curated by West Virginia water stewards, all of them women.
So the pictures depict the women, what they like about their job, what they don't like about their job, what makes them inspired of working in West Virginia and for West Virginia.
WVU Assistant Professor of Geography Martina Angela Carretta helped curate the Women in Water exhibit. The pieces were collected during a retreat she helped organize last year as part of her research into the roles women play in the state's water policy and advocacy fields.
You know, it's an honest, I think, picture or recollection in a way of, you know, the struggle of doing a work that is often underpaid, that often requires free work during weekends, and that is also not fully recognized, you know, by the communities and the society around them.
Robin Blakeman contributed to the exhibit. She works for the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition and submitted a cloth tapestry with slips of paper and ribbon attached. The notes are thoughts and prayers written by attendees of OVEC's first Radical Joy for Hard Times event, hosted in Kanawha State Forest, and later at a conference near Black Mountain, North Carolina. Participants were asked to share about their favorite places. The tapestry sits near photographs depicting the 2014 Elk River chemical spill and objects gathered during the Standing Rock protest in 2016. Blakeman says it's powerful to see the contributions of so many women in one room.
I mean, we do have some strong and great men in the movement for environmental preservation in this state, in this region, but it seems that the majority of the work is being done by women. Is interesting.
Carretta says many of the people who have so far interacted with the exhibit have been surprised about the leading role women in West Virginia play in protecting the state's water resources.
West Virginia has a very strong history when it comes to women being engaged in the labor movement, union movement, also in the environmental movement. For some reason, people like keep on forgetting about it. So that's why it's important to have this exhibit to actually highlight something that we tend to forget, like pretty quickly, which is that there are a lot of people, and among them a majority of women, that put in a lot of free time to preserve, you know, the natural resources of our state.
The Women in Water exhibit will remain up through the end of April. The main water exhibit will be up through June. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson in Morgantown.
In conjunction with the Women in Water exhibit this afternoon from 4 to 5:30, the WVU Downtown Campus Library will host a panel titled Flint and Charleston, Drinking Water Pollution and Its Impact on Women's Health. Panelists will discuss drinking water and its impacts on reproductive health. For more information, check out our website at wvpublic.org.